Good morning. It's great to be back with you. The glory of God.
Guds herlighed.
Turn with me to Matthew.
Gå ind I Matthæus.
I think we are in chapter 6.
Jeg tror vi I kapitel 6.
Yes.
Yeah.
Verse 13.
Vers 13.
Oh, you know it very well. We can just say it.
I kender det meget godt, så vi kan bare sige det.
Jesus is praying. He says at the end of the Lord's prayer, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory."
Jesus han siger I slutningen af Herrens bøn, "For dit riget, magten og æren."
And the last three time Bible school days we've had you, we've looked at the kingdom of God, the power of God, and this morning the glory of God.
Og de sidste tre gange har jeg haft Guds rige, Guds herlighed, og nu vi kommet til Guds herlighed.
And we looked at how Jesus' prayer really was an incredible blueprint for the church to be built in the book of Acts.
Og vi ser på hvordan Guds eller Jesus han beder for at det skal være et mærke for I apostlenes gerning.
When we look at the first five chapters of Acts,
når vi ser på de første fem kapitler I apostlenes gerning,
we see these three words that Jesus used in operation.
Så ser vi de tre ord, som Jesus bruger I hans virke.
In chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, it says that Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom.
I kapitel 1, vers 3 og 4 og 5 står hvordan Jesus han underviser om himlen, om jorden.
He set the foundation ready so that in Acts chapter 2 the power of God came on them, the Holy Spirit.
Han satte ligesom fundamentet klart, sådan så I kapitel 2 så kan han fortælle om himlen.
But then from chapter 3 and to 5,
men I kapitel 3 til 5,
we read of an immense amount of miracles, extraordinary miracles.
Så læser vi om mange mirakler.
And that is the manifestation of the glory of God on earth.
Og det den manifestation af herligheden på jorden.
Peter first preaches and 3000 people get saved.
Peter han prædiker først og så der 3000 der bliver frelst.
Interesting to note for those of you that like kind of typological studies in the Bible.
Det vigtigt for jer og dem som der godt kan lide sådan nogle dybdegående ting I Bibelen. Bibelstudie.
That the Old Testament church started with the proclamation of the laws of Moses.
Den gamle kirke, den startede med det som Moseslovene, de proklamerede.
But because of their idolatry, Moses broke the tablets and 3000 people were killed that day.
Men på grund af deres idoldyrkelse eller deres dyrkelse af afguder, så knuste Moses de her
But on the day of Pentecost.
Men på pinsedagen.
Peter preaches.
Så prædiker Peter.
And 3000 people get saved.
Og så der 3000 der bliver frelst.
And there's an incredible analogy between the start of the old and the start of the new.
Der en fantastisk sammenhæng mellem starten på det gamle og starten på det nye.
And in Romans chapter 8 Paul gives us the answer what was going on.
Og I Romer 8:8 der giver Paulus os
He says for the law brings death.
Fordi loven bringer død.
But the spirit brings life.
Men ånden bringer liv.
And that's the era which we live in today.
Og det den tid vi lever I dag.
And from that point on, the Holy Spirit is poured out.
Og fra det tidspunkt der er Helligånden blevet uddelt, udgydt.
And the glory of God begins to spread first in Jerusalem.
Og fra det tidspunkt der begynder Guds herlighed at sprede først I Jerusalem.
And as Jesus proclaimed in Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth.
Ja, og som Jesus han proklamerer for I Judea så til Samaria og så til resten af jorden.
And this morning and this afternoon we're going to look at what is the glory of God.
Og det vi skal kigge på I dag og her I til formiddag I eftermiddag hvad herligheden.
A friend of mine once preached an amazing sermon called It. IT it.
Ja. Der en af mine venner, han prædikede engang en fantastisk prædiken over it, altså det eller IT.
And I don't know what idea you have of what it is.
Og jeg ved ikke hvad for en idé eller opfattelse I har af det.
But he says whatever it is, we all want it.
Men lige meget hvad det så det som det det som jeres opfattelse det.
Whatever you think it is.
Lige meget hvad du tror det
It there's always more to it.
Så der altid mere af det.
And he never used any other word than it.
Og han brugte aldrig andet ord end det.
For 45 minutes.
I 45 minutter.
But we all know what he meant.
Men vi vidste alle sammen hvad han
But
mente.
It was difficult to put a word to describe it.
Fordi det var svært at sætte et ord på hvad det var.
Because whatever it is.
Fordi lige meget hvad det er.
We want it.
Så vil vi have det.
We can't live without it.
Vi kan ikke leve uden det.
We don't want to live without it.
Vi vil ikke leve uden det.
Moses in Exodus 33 said to God, God, I don't want to even move from this place unless it's with us.
Moses han sagde i anden Mosebog at jeg vil ikke vi vil ikke gå nogen sted uden at det er der.
What's the it? What's they talking about? It's the glory of God.
Og det som de taler om, det er Guds herlighed.
Now there are many ways to many words used to describe it, but it all means the same thing.
Der er mange ord brugt til at beskrive det, men det betyder alt sammen det samme.
Some of you might know it as the presence of God.
Der er nogen der siger det er Guds nærvær.
That God is actually here with us.
At Gud faktisk er her med os.
Some people call it the glory of God, the presence of God, the
nogen kalder det Guds herlighed, Guds tilstedeværelse.
The where the power of God is working.
Når Guds kraft er virker.
There are many ways to describe it.
Der er mange måder at beskrive det på.
But the Bible only has really two words.
Men Bibelen har faktisk kun to ord.
And we'll start with the theological stuff this morning while you're still fresh.
Og vi starter med den teologiske del, mens I stadig er friske.
And we'll go on to the lighter stuff.
Og så går vi videre til det lettere.
This afternoon when you've all been fed and it's hot and you're tired and I can see you all falling asleep.
Når I alle sammen er blevet mætte og fulde og ved at falde i søvn.
So I'll leave to how we come into the glory of God to this afternoon. So if you really like it, you'll wake up.
Så jeg venter med at se det, hvordan vi virkelig får ind i herligheden til i eftermiddag, så I vågner op.
So what is the glory of God?
Så hvad er Guds herlighed?
In Acts is described as wherever God's presence came.
I Apostlenes gerning så er det beskrevet som der hvor Guds herlighed er.
And when God's presence came, all kinds of supernatural signs of wonders broke out.
Og når Guds nærvær er til stede, så kommer der alle mange overnaturlige mirakler.
Until you get to a point where you read of even the falling of Peter's shadow on people got people healed.
Og vi kommer til et punkt hvor selv at Peters skygge får folk helbredt.
Now that is an incredible study in itself.
Og det er en utrolig eller et fantastisk studie i sig selv.
Of the grace of God.
Og Guds nåde.
Because what is a shadow?
For hvad er en skygge?
A shadow is darkness wherever we are going that's blocking the light.
For en skygge er noget mørke som er noget mørke der skygger for lyset hvor vi går frem.
That God can pour himself so much into us.
At Gud han kan fylde os så meget.
That even our darkness
at selv vores mørke
can touch people.
Kan røre mennesker.
But the glory of God is there and he's healing them.
Og Guds herlighed er der og han helbreder dem.
That's grace in its purest form.
Det er noget i den reneste form.
Because whenever you read of the picture of shadow in the Bible, it's always in a negative form.
For når man taler om skygge i Bibelen, så er det altid om noget negativt.
But the God, when His glory comes, can use our darkness, our weaknesses, our frailties, our darkness, our shadow.
Når Gud kommer i hans herlighed, så kan han bruge vores mørke til at røre folk.
That's wild.
Og det er vildt.
That gives me hope that
det giver mig håb.
He can use me.
Han kan bruge mig.
It gives me even more hope because he can use you.
Og giver endnu mere håb, han kan bruge jer.
Yeah. That's why.
Og det er derfor.
Don't get me started now.
Lad nu. Du skal ikke få mig startet nu.
The Bible says I will pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Bibelen siger at jeg vil lade min ånd flyde ud over alt kød.
So the more flesh you have, the more anointing you get.
Så jo mere kød du har, jo mere salvelse har du.
Do you want to carry on with that thought?
Skal vi gå videre med den tanke?
So the glory of God.
Så Guds herlighed.
As air is the atmosphere of earth.
Som en atmosfære på jorden.
The glory of God is the atmosphere of heaven.
Så er det himlens atmosfære.
You walk in heaven, you breathe the glory of God.
Når du går i himlen, så indånder du
you are surrounded by it.
Så er du omgivet af det.
When we read of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, it says that they were clothed in God's glory.
Når vi læser om i Edens have, så er de klædt i Guds herlighed.
It saturates heaven. It's everywhere.
Det gennemsyrer himlen alle vejen.
But not everywhere on earth.
Men ikke alle steder på jorden.
It's amazing how God can be very present here in this building.
Det er jo fantastisk, som Gud kan være til stede her i bygningen.
Now, let me explain a dynamic here.
Lad mig forklare en dynamik her.
And you'll agree with me when I explain it to you, that this is where you'll understand it.
Og så vil I, hvad hedder det, være enige med mig, når jeg har forklaret det.
When the presence of God comes in a meeting.
Når Guds nærvær kommer i et møde.
It's usually at the front.
Så er det gerne foran.
The further you go back, the less of that presence there is.
Jo længere du går tilbage i salen, jo mindre er der.
Have you ever anybody ever seen that?
Har der nogen, der har set det?
I've seen it so many times in meetings.
Jeg har set det så mange gange til møder.
No one ever told us that as young people, but we knew God was more powerful at the front, at the back, so we always fight over the seats at the front.
Da vi var unge, var der aldrig nogen, der fortalte os, at det var sådan, det var, men vi vidste, fordi vi kæmpede os vej frem.
And there was always a race to get to church first, to be in the queue, so to get in when they unlocked the doors, so that you could get to the front.
Der var altid en kamp om at være først i kirken, så vi kunne komme først i rækken, sådan så man kunne komme ind.
And that was, now we didn't learn that, we're not taught that, but it was just truth. That's how it worked.
Vi var ikke undervist i det, men det var bare sådan sandheden var.
And or out of that, that's why we call people to the front when we pray for people, because God is strongest here at the altar, at the pulpit.
Og det er derfor, vi kalder folk frem, når vi skal til forbøn, fordi der er Guds nærvær stærkest foran ved alteret.
I've preached in churches.
Jeg underviser i kirker.
Where they call people for altar calls, and you have to go to the back of the church.
Ja, hvor vi kalder folk frem til forbøn, og så er det bag i kirken.
Okay, God, let's try it out.
Ja, og så siger jeg, okay, Gud, lad os
prøve det. And it was bone dry at the back.
Og det var
dødtørt. And this was a very large church, and I walked all the way to the back, and it's like, I walked all the way to the front, and it's like,
Og der var helt tørt, der gik frem tilbage, og der var godt foran.
So I said, what are you doing?
Så sagde, hvad gør du?
Oh, but God is everywhere.
Men Gud er alle vejen.
He's omnipresent.
Han er alle steds nærmere.
Yes, he is.
Ja, han er.
But his glory isn't everywhere.
Men hans herlighed er ikke alle steder.
If that was the case,
hvis det var sagen,
you could go walk down in Rema.
Så kunne du gå ned i Rema.
And as you check at the checkout.
Og når du skulle betale ved kassen.
Just the glory of God. No, he doesn't do that.
Og Guds herlighed, nej, det er ikke det, han gør.
God is there.
Gud er der.
But there are levels of revelation of God's glory.
Men der er forskellige niveauer af Guds åbenbaring.
Now we're going to get into that a little bit later this afternoon, because we are actually carriers of the glory of God.
Og det går vi ind i lidt senere i dag, fordi vi er faktisk bærere af Guds herlighed.
But we all know.
Men vi ved alle.
God isn't as powerfully present out there on the street as he is in church at times.
Vi ved, at Gud ikke er så stærkt nærværende her ude på gaden, som han er her.
But that's the difference of revival when God's glory falls.
Men det er det, der er forskel med vækkelse, når Guds herlighed falder.
It's as strong out there as it is in here.
Så den lige så stærk derude, som den er herinde.
I was listening to a testimony.
Vi bytter.
Thanks. I was listening to a testimony of a man in the Welsh revival from 1904.
Jeg lyttede til et vidnesbyrd fra en mand, der var en del af den walisiske vækkelse i 1904.
And how he described what the atmosphere in his town was like was exactly what I experienced as a teenager in my town.
Og hvordan han beskriver atmosfæren i byen er præcis den samme følelse jeg havde som teenager i min by.
He said we would always go to church in the morning just before we went to work. Church was always open.
Så vi tog altid til kirke om morgenen, fordi kirken var altid åben.
Because the presence of God, the glory of God was so strong there.
Fordi Guds nærvær, Guds herlighed var så stærkt til stede.
But it came to a point where you didn't have to go to church at all.
Men der kom et tidspunkt, hvor vi slet ikke behøver at gå til kirke.
I remember rowing out into the lake to do some fishing on a Saturday afternoon, and God was just as strong in the middle of the lake as he was at church.
Jeg husker en eftermiddag, hvor jeg roede ud midt på en sø for at fiske, og Guds nærvær var lige så stærkt til stede lige midt på søen, som det var i kirken.
And he says, within 2 or 3 months of God's outpouring.
Og han siger, at i løbet af 2 til 3 måneder af Guds udgydelse,
you couldn't get anywhere in the whole mountainside, the countryside, where God wasn't powerfully present.
så var der ingen steder i hele det område, i hele det bjerglandskab der, hvor byen lå, hvor Guds nærvær ikke var så til stede.
There was no sickness anyway.
Der var ingen sygdom nogen steder.
Everybody got healed of whatever they had.
Alle blev helbredt for uanset hvad de fejlede.
Not in a meeting, being that laid down of hands, just at home or on the street or wherever.
Ikke i møderne, hvor pastoren lagde hænderne på dem, men på gaden og hvor som helst.
People would come from all around England and go into Wales to witness this, to feel this.
Mennesker ville komme fra hele Storbritannien og ind til Wales for at opleve det her, for at være vidne til det, der skete.
And there was a particular story of a family that went early one morning.
Og der er en historie om en familie, som tog afsted tidlig morgen.
On the train.
Med toget.
Let's go to Wales to experience God.
Lad os til Wales for at opleve Gud.
And he takes his wife and his children with him.
Og han tager sin kone og sine børn med sig.
And when he gets to Chester, the English city just on the Welsh border.
Og han kommer til Chester, som er den engelske, eller byen på lige på den anden side af den engelske grænse.
He asks the station master.
Så spørger han stationsmesteren, eller...
How will we know which town to get off? Because he doesn't understand the Welsh signs. It's all in a different language.
Den her mand, han kan ikke læse de walisiske skilte, fordi de står på walisisk.
And the guy on the
spørger, hvornår skal vi stå af?
The guy on the platform says, "Oh, you'll know."
Og manden på stationen siger, "Det ved du."
Whether you can get off the train or not is another matter, but you'll know.
Om du har mulighed for at stå rent faktisk stå af toget, det er så et andet spørgsmål, men du ved, hvornår du er der.
And the story was that as they crossed over the border.
Og historien den går, at som de krydser grænsen,
people on the train were just falling in the presence of God.
Så faldt mennesker på toget.
Either laughing or crying or just in worship.
Under latter eller under gråd eller i lovsang.
The thing is, that train only went to that town.
Det tog her, det tog kun til den her by.
And there was one every 10 minutes for 2 years.
Og der gik et tog hver tiende minut.
24 hours a day.
24 timer i døgnet.
Because the train company recognized there's a lot of money to be made here.
Fordi togselskabet, de fandt ud af, her er så penge at tjene.
And that platform still today is called Revival Platform.
Og den her station hedder stadigvæk i dag.
100 years later.
Vækkelsesstationen.
In Chester Station.
På Chester Station.
It's the train into North Wales.
Det er den platform, eller den perron, hvor toget ind til Nord Wales går.
And the story goes is that they just came under such incredible presence of God.
Og historien går videre, at de kom under en så stor Guds nærvær.
And they said it was as strong under the train as they did when they walked down the town center.
Og de siger, det var lige så stærkt på toget, som det var, mens de gik ned gennem.
They never made it to the church.
De nåede aldrig frem til kirken.
God was just as strong in the middle of the high street.
Gud var lige så stor midt på hovedgaden.
And he said he just sat down with his children and his wife and they just worshipped all day long.
Og de satte sig ned sammen. Han satte sig ned sammen med sin kone og sine børn midt på gaden og bare lovsang Gud hele dagen.
And then they went home.
Og så tog de hjem igen.
And they were never the same again.
Og de blev aldrig de samme igen.
Never the same again.
Aldrig det samme igen.
The glory of God.
Guds herlighed.
See, God is everywhere, but he's not that strong everywhere.
Gud er overalt, men han er ikke så stærk til stede overalt.
Unless he chooses to be.
Medmindre han vælger at være det.
So as earth's atmosphere is air, heaven's atmosphere is glory.
Så som jordens atmosfære den er luft, sådan er himlens atmosfære herlighed.
Now in the Garden of Eden,
i Edens have.
That is what the earth was like.
Sådan var jorden på det tidspunkt.
There was nowhere where God wasn't.
Der var ingen steder i Edens have, hvor Gud ikke var.
In that strong presence.
I den her stærke nærvær.
The Bible uses the term Adam and Eve walked with God.
Bibelen siger, at Adam og Eva vandrede med Gud.
But what you have to understand is that God is a spirit.
Men det du må forstå, det er, at Gud han er ånd.
He doesn't have legs.
Han har ikke ben.
That as he walks through the garden, he's breaking the twigs and rustling the leaves.
Så når han går igennem haven, så knækker han ikke kvisten og roder rundt i bladene.
But there's some incredible terminology used in the Bible about this.
Men der er en meget, meget stærk terminologi, der er brugt i Bibelen om det her.
Like it says in one verse that they heard God walking in the garden one evening.
Der står i et vers, at de hørte Gud gå igennem haven.
But God doesn't have legs.
Men Gud har ikke ben.
Now the Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord or the hands of God as such and such.
Bibelen taler om Guds øjne og Guds hænder.
But it's pictorial language to describe not what God is like physically, but what he does.
Men det er billedsprog, som ikke handler om hvad Gud han er, men hvad han gør.
The Bible says that God has eyes, but it's only because he sees everything.
Der står i Bibelen at Gud han har øjne, men det er kun fordi han ser alt.
I mean, when you read of some of those creatures in the throne room, they're quite frightening.
Når du læser om nogle af de her væsener i tronrummet, så er de ret skræmmende.
There's one creature there that says it's just covered with eyes.
Der er et væsen som bare er dækket med øjne.
What does that look like?
Hvordan ser det ud?
I just imagine a big blob covered in eyes.
Jeg ser bare sådan en stor klump som bare har øjne og øjne.
Doesn't mean that it's pictorial.
Det betyder ikke det. Det er bare et billede.
God sees everything.
Gud ser alt.
It talks about the hands of God and the arm of God.
Det taler om Bibelen taler om Guds hænder og Guds arm.
He doesn't have hands and arm. The Bible says God is a spirit.
Han har ikke hænder og arme. Gud, Bibelen siger at Gud han er en ånd.
But it talks about his strength and what he does.
Men det taler om hans styrke og det han gør.
And like when God says to Moses, you can't see my face.
Når Gud han siger til Moses, du kan ikke se, du må ikke se mit ansigt.
I apologize for doing this, for breaking your bubble, but God doesn't look like an old man.
Undskyld jeg, hvad hedder det?
Break your bubble.
Ja, det hedder sprænger jeres boble lige nu. Men Gud ser ikke ud som en gammel mand.
What does God look like?
Hvordan ser Gud ud?
Jesus said this.
Jesus han siger det sådan her.
If you've seen me,
hvis du har set mig,
you've seen the Father.
Så har du set far.
So does God look like Jesus?
Så ser Gud ud som Jesus?
No, not
Nej.
In that sense.
Ikke på den måde.
Talking about character.
Vi snakker om karakter her.
And personality.
Personlighed.
And everything that God is, Jesus is.
Og alt hvad Gud er, det er Jesus.
The Bible authors use that language just to help us understand.
Gud han bruger ofte det her sprog for at vi kan forstå det.
So when they say they heard God walking in the garden.
Så når der står at de hørte Gud vandre i haven.
We understand okay, feet cracking, breaking little branches and rustling the leaves.
Så det vi forstår det er at vi kan høre Guds fodtrin. Vi kan høre han prasler i bladene.
Doesn't mean that at all.
Men det er ikke det, det betyder.
Nah, but this is another whole study which we won't do today about the sound of God.
Det her det er et helt andet studie om Guds lyde, men det skal vi tage en anden dag.
There is a sound that comes out of the glory of God.
Der er en lyd som kommer ud af Guds herlighed.
Which the Bible has a lot to say about.
Som Bibelen siger en hel del om.
Just to give you a New Testament example, when John the Baptist was in his mom's womb.
Da, for at give et nytestamentligt billede på det her, så da Johannes Døberen var i mors mave.
And Mary came to visit Elizabeth, you remember?
Og Maria kommer og besøger Elisabeth.
He said when the baby heard the sound of Mary's greeting, it jumped in the womb.
Der står der at da babyen hørte eller da Johannes han hørte lyden af Marias hilsen, så hoppede det i livet.
Do you think that has more to do with he could hear God was close by or just Mary's voice?
Tror du det var at han kunne høre Marias stemme, eller tror du at han kunne høre at Gud var der til stede?
That baby could hear the presence of his master right close to him.
Babyen kunne høre hans mesters nærvær tæt på.
And there are many many other scriptures but we won't look into that this morning.
Der er mange skrifter vi kigger ikke på her til morgen.
So Eden was the constant presence of God.
Så Eden var Guds konstante nærvær.
Everything was created perfect. Everything grew perfectly.
Alt var skabt perfekt. Alt voksede perfekt.
There was no fault. There was no disease. There was no fault.
Der var ingen sygdom. Der var ingen fejl. Der var ingen mangler.
And God revealed himself to mankind in that environment.
Og Gud han åbenbarede sig for mennesker i det miljø.
Unveiled. Unhidden.
Uden slør. Ugemt.
Remember later on God couldn't show himself unveiled to Moses because it would kill him.
Så senere der kan Gud ikke vise sig selv for Moses uden at have et slør for.
He says you can't see me, I'll show you my glory but you can't see my face, you can only see my back.
Han siger du kan se min herlighed men du kan kun se min ryg for du må ikke se mit ansigt så dør du.
Because no man can see my face and live.
Ingen menneske kan se mit ansigt og leve.
Not in his sinful state.
Ikke som syndigt menneske.
But Adam and Eve was perfect, they were unfallen.
Men Adam og Eva havde ikke faldet, de var perfekte.
And so the whole of Eden, that whole geographical area was filled with God. His presence, his glory, just as much as it was in heaven.
Så hele det geografiske område, som er Edens have, det var fyldt med Guds nærvær på samme måde som Guds nærvær i himlen.
But the best verse, really, in the Bible that sums up what happens next is Romans 3:23.
Men det bedste vers, som egentlig beskriver bedst, hvad der skete der, det er Romerne 3:23.
Which says, "Man falls short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the verse.
Og vi mennesker kom til kort op på Guds herlighed.
We've fallen.
Vi er faldet. Ja, mistet, ja.
We lost Eden. We lost God. We lost the glory.
Ja, vi tabte herlighed. Vi tabte Guds nærvær.
The first manifestation of that was Adam and Eve could see they were now naked.
Den første manifestation på det her problem var at Adam og Eva kunne nu se at de var nøgne.
They'd lost that covering.
De havde tabt sløret. Det der dækkede dem.
They had a knowledge that God never intended them to have.
De fik pludselig en viden som Gud aldrig havde til indsigt at give dem.
God designed us to live and be clothed in his presence and glory.
Gud designede os til at leve og være klædt i hans herlighed.
We are designed that way.
Sådan er vi designet.
We lost it.
Vi tabte det.
But everything that Jesus did on the cross was to reverse what happened in Eden.
Men alt det Jesus han gjorde på korset, det var at spole tilbage alt det der var sket i Edens have.
Everything from Eden to the cross.
Alt der skete fra Edens have til korset.
Man couldn't really know the glory of God.
Der kunne mennesker ikke virkelig møde Guds herlighed.
We read of special individuals.
Vi læser om specielle mennesker.
That was able to get closer to God than others, like Moses, for example.
Som fik mulighed for at komme tættere på Gud end andre. Moses er en af dem.
But when we see the effect that the glory of God had on these individuals.
Men når vi ser på den effekt Guds herlighed har på de her mennesker.
Moses spends 40 days on the mountain with God. He comes back. He's radiating. He's glowing light.
Moses han tilbringer 40 dage med Gud på bjerget. Og når han kommer tilbage, jamen så er han lysende. Han er fyldt af Guds herlighed.
What's happening?
Hvad der sker?
He's now clothed with God's glory again.
Han er nu klædt i Guds herlighed igen.
Not as much as Adam and Eve was.
Ikke så meget som Adam og Eva.
Because they couldn't even see that they were naked.
De havde slet ikke se at de var nøgne.
Because the glory of God was so powerfully shining out of them, unhindered.
Fordi Guds herlighed var lyste uhindret ud af dem.
But Moses brings back a part of it, what we were originally designed to be.
Men Moses han bragte tilbage en lille fli af det, som vi var oprindeligt var designet til.
And it terrified the people.
Og det gjorde en skræk i folket.
In fact, they said, "Cover your face until it fades."
Dæk dit ansigt til det væk igen. Vi vil ikke se det.
And I'll explain why in a minute when we look at what the words in Hebrew and Greek mean for glory.
Og jeg vil forklare det om et øjeblik, når vi begynder at kigge på de hebraiske ord for ære.
But they were
herlighed.
Terrified by it.
De var frygtede det.
If you walked out of here at night,
if
you walked out of church at night,
hvis du gik ud af kirken her en aften,
and all the lights were off on the street, it was dark,
og alt lys på gaden var slukket,
and you were glowing like you just walk out of a nuclear reactor,
og du lyste som om du lige var gået ud af en atomreaktor.
I think you'd have pretty much the same reaction from a lot of people.
Så vil du formentlig få den samme reaktion fra de fleste mennesker.
But here's the thing, the more we get on in this generation, the less strange that sounds.
Men her er det, at jo længere vi kommer i den her generation, jo mere underligt kommer det her til at lyde.
Have you ever noticed the way Satan is conditioning society?
Har du nogensinde lagt mærke til, hvordan Satan han positionerer sig i forhold til samfundet?
You see, in January,
januar måned.
I'll have been in full-time ministry for 30 years.
Så har jeg været i fuldtidstjeneste i 30 år.
30 years.
30 år.
Seems like 30 minutes.
Det føles som 30 minutter.
But during now those last 3 decades, I've seen, been able to see prophetically how things have changed.
Men igennem de 3 årtier har jeg set, hvordan det profetisk har ændret sig.
Just look at the children's entertainment, for example.
Og se på børneunderholdning, for eksempel.
When I grew up as a kid,
da jeg voksede op som barn,
it was all Bugs Bunny and Tom and Jerry.
Så var det Tom og Jerry og Snorsnup.
Funny violence.
Og sjov vold.
Like we never went round hitting people with rakes and bats and shovels like Tom and Jerry did.
Vi løb aldrig rundt og slog til hinanden med køller og skovle og alt muligt som Tom og Jerry.
There was an innocence in the cartoons.
Der var en uskyldighed i tegnefilmene.
But during the 80s, I began to see a change.
Men igennem 80'erne, så begyndte jeg at se en forandring.
More and more of the cartoon, the entertainment for children was fantasy-based.
Mere og mere underholdning for børn, flere og flere tegnefilm blev fantasy-baseret.
The early 90s, it then changed from fantasy-based to magic-based.
Og i 90'erne, der skiftede det så fra fantasy til magi.
Now let's see how old you are. You remember He-Man?
Kan I huske He-Man?
Thundercats. Oh, here we go. then in the 90s.
I 90'erne.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sabrina, teenage heksen.
And a lot of magical things came out.
Og en masse magiske ting kom ud.
And then in the 2000s there came a number of basically good witches.
Og i nullerne så kommer der helt stærk
doing all kinds of magic.
Alt som har alle mulige slags kræfter.
Until in the mid 2000s you have the Harry Potter stuff.
Og så midt i nullerne så kommer Harry Potter.
You go on any children's TV today.
Gå på hvilken som helst børnekanal i fjernsynet i dag.
And look at what's mysterious or magical or witchcrafty or supernatural.
Og se på det overnaturlige, det mystiske, det magiske.
Witches.
Hekse.
Vampires.
Vampyrer.
That glow like diamonds in the sunlight.
Som lyser som diamanter i solen.
Yeah, I'd be there with a hammer and chisel and getting them on now.
Jeg skulle være der med en hammer og mejsel, ja.
All these weird things.
Alle de her mærkelige ting.
It's preparing a generation to believe in supernatural stuff.
De forbereder en generation til at betro på det overnaturlige.
Because the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to come.
Fordi Bibelen siger at Antichrist han vil komme.
And everybody will bow down and worship him at what point?
Og alle vil bøje sig og tilbede ham på hvilket tidspunkt?
When he's killed, he's assassinated.
Når han bliver slået ihjel.
With an injury to his head, the Bible says.
Med en skade til hans hoved.
And you can clearly see when you read that scripture, maybe someone shoots him in the head with a rifle.
Og når du læser det her skrift, så ser det ud som om det er nogen, der blev, han blev skudt med en rifle.
He dies from a head wound, a head piercing is the exact word.
Han dør af en et hul i hovedet.
And then he's raised to life again.
Og så rejser han sig, eller bliver han
rejst til liv igen. And at that point, the whole world worships him.
Og på det tidspunkt, så vil hele verden tilbede ham.
20 years ago, most people wouldn't even believe you could rise from the dead.
For 20 år siden ville
they didn't believe in the supernatural.
For 20 år siden ville de fleste ikke engang tro, du kunne blive væk til liv igen. De ville ikke tro på det overnaturlige.
But we have a generation that's being conditioned that it's not so strange anymore.
Men vi har en generation, som er vokset op med, at det er ikke så underligt alligevel. Det kan nok
until the generation comes where that will be like, oh, he's God, let's worship.
Indtil der kommer en generation, hvor der vil se det her ske og sige, wow, han er Gud, lad os tilbede ham.
Or they'll be really skeptical and say, that's just a camera trick.
Eller de vil være skeptiske og sige, det er bare tv-snyd.
But it won't be thought of as strange. I mean, what could be thought of as strange in today's society?
Men de vil ikke se det som underligt, for hvad er egentlig underligt i dagens samfund?
You know, on the internet, you can see people being burnt to death.
På internettet der kan du se mennesker blive brændt ihjel.
There is a conditioning going on in society as a whole.
Der sker en forandring i samfundet som
that's preparing for the Antichrist.
Som forbereder Antikrist komme.
So you walking out in the glory of God might not have that same effect as it would have had 10-15 years ago.
Så hvis du går ud af døren her i Gud klædt i Guds herlighed, så har det måske ikke samme effekt som det ville have haft for 10-20 år siden.
Physically.
Fysisk.
But there's more to the glory of God than just what you see.
Men der er betydeligt mere til Guds herlighed end hvad du ser.
So let's have a look.
Så lad os se på det.
Well, let me just go a little bit about the history of first. So then man was exiled from our natural environment in Eden, as I said.
Man blev sendt i lands, de blev landsforvist fra vores naturlige miljø i Edens have.
From Eden to the cross.
Fra Edens have til korset.
Very little apart from don't go near the presence of God.
Er der meget lidt bortset fra lad være med at gå tæt på Guds herlighed.
When God comes and visits Israel on the mountain,
når Gud han besøger Israel på bjerget,
he warns the people don't even touch the base of the mountain.
Så advarer han dem lad være med at røre ved bjergets fod.
You'll be killed.
Du bliver slået ihjel.
So far have we wandered away from the glory of God.
Så langt er vi kommet væk fra Guds herlighed.
Even with the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, it wasn't enough.
Selv med offersystemet som var i det gamle testament, så var det ikke nok.
To be able to walk and live in the presence in the glory of God. God as Adam and Eve were designed to do.
For at de kunne leve og vandre i Guds herlighed som Adam og Eva gjorde.
Moses was able to do it.
Moses kunne.
Aaron was called up.
Aaron blev kaldt op.
Even Joshua.
Selv Josua.
And as I said, certain other individuals experienced it. Isaiah, for example, was taken into the throne of God itself.
Og som jeg siger, flere enkeltstående personer igennem Isaias blandt andet, som blev taget ind i Guds tronrum.
And he thought he was going to die.
Og han troede han skulle dø.
Until an angel came with a coal and touched his lips and cleansed him.
Indtil en engel kom med et glødende kul og lagde på hans læber og rensede ham.
But until the cross, there's very little about man living in the presence and glory of God anymore.
Men frem til korset er der meget, meget lidt om at mennesker lever i Guds herlighed.
But at the cross everything changed.
Men på korset ændres alt.
Jesus reversed the whole thing.
Jesus han vendte det hele op og ned.
The curse, the bondage,
forbandelsen,
the judgment,
dommen,
the slavery,
slaveriet,
To all that the curse and sin and rebellion was.
Til alt som forbandelsen og oprøret var.
The healing, the miracles, the supernatural lifestyle, the signs and wonders.
Helbredelsen, den overnaturlige livsstil, tegn og under.
The life living with God inside you again.
Livet at leve med Gud inde i dig igen.
All was restored.
Alt blev genoprettet.
And we're all on a journey, a process of sanctification, where the Bible says we are being changed from glory into more glory.
Og vi er alle sammen på en helliggørelsesproces fra herlighed til herlighed.
And that's great.
Det er godt.
And we're all at different levels in our walk.
Vi er alle på forskellige niveauer i vores vandring.
The Bible says we walk in the light that we have received.
Bibelen siger, at vi vandrer i det lys, vi har set.
And each individual walk with God is just that. It is a personal, individual thing.
Og hver eneste vandring med Gud er en personlig, individuel ting.
What God wants for me is not what he wants for you.
Det Gud han vil med mig, er ikke det han vil med dig.
See, God wanted me to move and live in Denmark.
Gud han ville jeg skulle flytte og bo i Danmark.
That wasn't God's will for you.
Det var ikke Guds vilje for dig.
Because you already lived here.
For du var her allerede.
And so on, as you see, it's personal.
Så det er personligt det her.
There is the general will of God.
Der er Guds generelle vilje.
Which we find out easily by reading His Word.
Som engler finder ud af, for den står i Bibelen.
It is for me and you not to steal, for example.
Det er både for dig og for mig. Vi må ikke stjæle.
Don't commit adultery.
Bedrag ikke ved utugt.
Don't go around killing people.
Gå ikke rundt og slå folk ihjel.
And so on and so on. Those are easy to find. They're for me and you.
De er enkle at finde, fordi for både for dig og for mig, det står i Bibelen.
But there's the individual walk as well.
Men så er der også den individuelle vandring.
That's just you and God.
Som kun er mellem dig og Gud.
And it's very individualistic.
Og det er meget individuelt.
And so God gives us the chance again to come, the Bible says, boldly and confidently into his presence or glory.
Så Gud han giver os muligheden for at komme frimodigt ind i hans herlighed.
See, the Greek word for glory.
Det græske ord for herlighed.
Is doxa, D-O-X-A.
Er doxa, D-O-X-A.
But it's the same word for presence.
Men det er det samme ord som er for
presence,
nærvær,
glory,
herlighed.
God's atmosphere.
Guds atmosfære.
And it literally means God's majestic, his majesty.
Og det betyder egentlig Guds majestæt.
Yeah. The majesty of who he is.
Majestæt i den han er.
David put it this way when he was prophesying about the Messiah in I think it was Psalm 65. He says, "We will dwell in the shelter of the most high and mighty."
David han siger det i sin salme, i sin
when the shadow. Dwell in the shadow.
At vi vil hvile i skyggen af Guds herlighed.
Those who dwell in the shadow of the Almighty will have nothing to fear.
De som dvæler i Guds skygge vil ikke frygte.
And he talks about all the great blessings that comes from living a life that's lived in the presence of God.
Og taler om alle de velsignelser der kommer ved at leve i Guds nærvær.
So the Hebrew word for glory is kabod.
Så det hebraiske ord for herlighed er kabod.
Kabod literally means weight.
Kabod betyder vent.
Heaviness.
Og vægt.
Not vent, no.
vægt eller tyngde.
Yeah. And it's a word that the Hebrews would describe, you know, let's weigh 10 kilos of flour.
Ja. Jøderne brugte ordet, når de skulle veje mel.
But it was also used for the glory of God.
Men det blev også brugt om Guds herlighed.
But a specific characteristic of God's glory.
Men en speciel karakteristika om Guds herlighed.
Kabod was used to describe the glory of God that you cannot see but you certainly feel.
Kabod blev brugt om den Guds herlighed som du ikke kan se, men som du absolut kan mærke.
You know that God when God comes.
Du ved når Gud han kommer.
The peace,
freden,
the joy,
glæden,
the hope.
Håbet.
The disappearance of guilt and shame.
Skylden der forsvinder.
And all the other things that God is to you.
Og alle de andre ting som Gud han er for
the
dig.
The beauty of his holiness the Bible describes.
Bibelen beskriver det som Guds herlighed.
But you got to understand another thing.
Du må forstå en anden ting.
The other side of kabod.
Den anden side af kabod.
See, those things are felt by those who are children of God.
Det her kan Guds børn mærke.
If you're not,
hvis ikke du er,
When that kabal, that presence, that glory of God comes in a meeting.
Når det her kabal, den her Guds nærvær kommer på et møde.
For the sinner, it's very uncomfortable.
For en synder, så er det meget, meget ubehageligt.
And if it's strong enough, if it's painful.
Og hvis det er stærkt nok, så er det smertefuldt.
It's frightening.
Det er skræmmende.
It's scary.
Det er meget skræmmende.
When I first felt that.
Da jeg første gang mærkede det.
I ran out of that building screaming.
Så løb jeg ud af kirken skrigende.
And I got into that church meeting to destroy it.
Jeg var kommet ind på den her møde for at ødelægge det hele.
I was a violent criminal at the time.
Jeg var en voldelig kriminel på det her tidspunkt.
And as I was destroying, me and my mates were destroying this meeting, the preacher says, I dare you to ask God to reveal himself to you.
Og mens vi mig og mine gutter, vi var i gang med at forsøge at ødelægge det her møde, så sagde prædikanten til mig, jeg udfordrer til at lade Gud vise sig for dig.
And so I stood up in front of about 200 people just shouting, God, if you're real, show me right now.
Så jeg rejste mig op i kirken foran 200 mennesker og råbte højt, Gud, hvis du virkelig, så vis dig for mig nu.
But there was one problem.
Der var bare et problem.
He did.
Han gjorde det.
Such immediately an intense feeling of fear, of dread.
Et så pludseligt følelse af frygt og af rædsel.
That the only way I could describe it was this. All the bad stuff I'd done in my life condensed into the most ugly, unclean feeling inside.
Det eneste måde jeg kan beskrive på, at det er, at alt det dårlige jeg har gjort i hele mit liv, det er kondenseret ind til en klump af grimt ind i mit liv.
It was ugly.
Det var grimt.
Now I'd done these things again and again and I enjoyed them, but now they felt horrible.
Jeg havde gjort det igen og igen, de her ting, og jeg havde nydt det hver eneste
gang. I didn't understand
it. Men nu var det frygteligt. Jeg forstod det ikke.
I had no biblical background whatsoever.
Jeg havde absolut ingen bibelsk baggrund for at forstå det her.
And that just got suddenly within a few seconds massively intense.
Og så Gud i løbet af nogle få sekunder massivt intenst.
I couldn't take it. I had to get out of there.
Jeg kunne ikke klare det, så jeg var nødt til at komme.
I screamed Rah! And ran out.
Jeg skreg og løb ud.
I ran as fast as I could down the driveway.
Jeg løb så hurtigt jeg kunne ned ad indkørslen.
I ran through an orchard.
Through a what?
Orchard, a big wood of apple trees.
Nå, jeg løb gennem en frugtplantage.
Out into the middle of a sports field.
Ud midt på en sportsbane eller.
But no matter how far and how fast I ran, I couldn't get away from it.
Men uanset hvor langt og hvor hurtigt jeg løb, så kunne jeg ikke komme væk fra det.
Whatever it was following me.
Uanset hvad det var, så fulgte det efter mig.
And I dropped to my knees, screaming, pulling the grass out in agony.
Og jeg faldt på knæ og råbte og havde slid græsset af i smerte.
And just went, aah! I couldn't stop myself.
Og jeg kunne ikke stoppe mig selv.
I thought I was going to die.
Jeg troede jeg skulle dø.
That's the thought that now is going through my head. Wayne, you're about to die. You're going to die.
Det var den eneste tanke der var i mit hoved på det her tidspunkt. Wayne, du skal dø. Du dør nu.
And then I heard a voice with my ears.
Så hørte jeg en fysisk stemme.
It wasn't just a little voice, you know, that you hear in your head or your heart.
Det var ikke bare den her lille stemme du hører ind i dit hjerte.
Because my first reaction was, who's there? I was 100 meters from anything. I could see 100 meters easy every direction. There was no one there.
Jeg var 100 meter fra hvad som helst. Jeg kunne se overalt rundt omkring. Jeg var alene.
Yet if I remember back, the way I could describe it was this voice seemed to come from about 2 meters above me here.
Og den her stemme, det virkede som om den kom sådan cirka 2 meter over mig heroppe.
It didn't help.
Det hjalp ikke på det.
Because now I thought, not only am I about to die, I'm going crazy, I'm schizophrenic, I'm hearing voices.
For nu havde jeg ikke bare følelsen af, at jeg ville dø, nu var jeg også tosset og blev schizophren.
Something my unsaved uncle once said to me just came into my mind.
Min ufrelste onkel sagde det på et tidspunkt, det kom ind i
He said, you've got to watch out for these Christians.
Han sagde, du skal holde øje med de her kristne.
Because I tell you, if you start hearing voices,
fordi hvis du begynder at høre stemmer,
you're going to die.
Så dør du.
And that's right, that's it. I can hear voices, I've been with these people, I'm going to die.
Og derfor er jeg overbevist om, at nu skulle jeg dø, fordi jeg hørte stemmer, og jeg havde været sammen med de her kristne.
I was 16 years old.
Jeg var 16 år gammel.
And this voice just said to me, Wayne.
Og den her stemme sagde til mig, Wayne.
That didn't help. Whoever this is knows who I am.
Og det hjalp heller ikke på det, fordi uanset
he knows my name.
Hvem jeg er, han kender mit navn.
Yeah, I remember just a few weeks later, threatening a boy, I know your name, I know where you live.
Altså et par uger tidligere havde jeg taget fat i en gut og sagt, jeg ved hvem du er, jeg kender dit navn, jeg ved
and
hvor du
bor. And that's what this voice sounded like. I know who you are, and I know where you live.
Og sådan føles den her stemme, jeg ved hvem du er, jeg ved hvor du bor.
It was horrific.
Det var frygteligt.
I cannot explain how terrifying this was. was.
Jeg kan ikke forklare jer, hvor skræmmende det var.
I burgled a house once.
Jeg havde lavet indbrud i et hus på et tidspunkt.
With a man shot two barrels of a shotgun down the hallway straight at me.
Hvor en mand, han skød to skud med et haglgevær ned ad gangen.
He blew the window out behind me.
Han skød vinduet ud bag ved mig.
How nothing touched me.
Hvordan ingenting rørte ved mig.
I cannot tell you how.
Det kan jeg ikke fortælle dig hvordan.
I didn't stand it ask him what he had in his gun.
Jeg blev ikke stående og spørge.
Well, he was quickly reloading.
Fordi han var i gang med at lade.
I shot straight out that window and up the mountain.
Jeg løb bare ud af det vindue, som var skudt i stykker op ad bjerget.
I didn't know he had a gun.
Jeg vidste ikke, at han havde en pistol.
But I was scared that night.
Den aften var
my legs were like jelly.
Mine ben var som gelé.
I couldn't understand how he missed me in a meter and a half wide.
Jeg har ingen idé om hvordan han missede mig på en halvanden meter bred gang.
Two barrels.
Med to skud.
That blew the window out behind me, so there was something in it.
Som skød vinduet ud bag mig.
I knew what it was like to be scared. This was not that.
Så jeg vidste godt hvordan det var at være bange, men det her
this var på noget terror.
Det var en
pure angst. Terror that was constant, it was inside and I couldn't run away from it.
Ren angst som var inde i mig, så jeg kunne ikke løbe væk fra.
And this voice said, Wayne, what that man said about me is true.
Siger Wayne, hvad den mand sagde om mig er rigtigt.
And I said, what about all this? Now, anybody there would have thought I was crazy, but I thought that this voice knew what was happening inside.
Jeg siger, hvad som alt det her, og enhver anden, der ville have været der, ville have troet, at jeg var åndssvag, fordi, men jeg vidste, at den her stemme vidste, hvad der skete inde i mig.
So you give your life to me, I'll take it all away.
Så jeg giver dit liv til mig, og så tager jeg det hele væk.
It sounded like a pretty good deal at the time.
Det lød som en ret god deal på det her tidspunkt.
Because I thought I was going to die.
For jeg troede, jeg skulle dø.
And I've said my testimony many times, and I cannot tell you how I knew, I just knew this was God.
Og jeg har fortalt mit vidensbyrd mange gange, og jeg kan ikke fortælle, hvordan jeg vidste, at det var Gud, men det vidste.
Now, I was an atheist.
Jeg var ateist.
But I knew this was God.
Men jeg vidste, at det her, det var Gud.
And I didn't realize what was going on until I spoke to a guy this year, Manuel's, one of our guys, his dad.
Jeg ved ikke, hvordan, indtil jeg i de sidste år snakkede med en af vores unges far.
He's from California. His dad was in the special forces in the Vietnam War, the US Marines.
Hans far er fra, eller Manuel er fra California. Hans far var special forces. Han var specialstyrkerne under Vietnamkrigen.
The Green Berets.
Grønne beretter.
Like Rambo was a Green Beret.
Some Rambo, yeah.
And anyway, he was telling me how he was witnessing to a pile of atheists this year in California.
Han fortalte mig om hvordan han vidnede for en flok ateister i Californien her tidligere på året.
And he said to these boys, he said, you know, sons, he said, you know, I've met atheists, I've gone to war with atheists, Muslims, Buddhists, Hare Krishna, you name it. They all cry out to God when the bullets are flying.
Prøv at høre, drenge, jeg skal forklare det. Jeg har gået i krig med ateister, med buddhister, med hinduer, med katolikker, med you name it. Og tro mig, de råber alle på Gud, når kuglerne de flyr omkring ørerne på dem.
I knew it was God. I didn't believe in him, but I knew it was God.
Jeg vidste, det var Gud. Jeg troede ikke på ham, men jeg vidste, det var ham.
I knew I was in trouble.
Jeg vidste, jeg havde et problem.
The glory of God had come on me when I was still a sinner.
Guds herlighed var kommet over mig, mens jeg stadig var synder.
And I have no doubt.
Jeg har ingen tvivl.
What the glory of God does to people, the presence of God does to people that don't know him.
Guds nærvær gør ved mennesker, som ikke tror på ham.
It's like the Old Testament laws.
Det er som de gamle testamentlige love.
It's what Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Hebræerne 4 siger, det er en frygtelig synd at falde ind i Guds herlige hænder.
Hebrews 12, you know, our God is a consuming fire.
Hebræerne 12, at Gud er en fortærende ild.
And so on and so on. God will not be mocked. And I was mocking God in his house in a big way.
Gud han vil ikke mobbe mig. Jeg mobbede ham i hans eget hus.
But as I repented of my sin.
Men da jeg bekendte mine synder.
I said, God, I am sorry for everything I've done.
Jeg sagde, Gud, jeg er ked af alt det, jeg har gjort.
I had no teaching.
Jeg havde ingen undervisning.
I couldn't even tell you what the word repent meant.
Jeg kunne ikke engang fortælle, hvad ordet...
I'd never heard of it.
Omvendelse betyder.
I'd never heard of it.
Jeg har aldrig hørt om det.
But I knew what I had to do.
Men jeg vidste, hvad jeg skulle gøre.
I said, God, because I didn't want to be that person anyway.
Jeg ønskede egentlig ikke at være den her person.
But I couldn't get out of it.
Men jeg kunne ikke komme fri af det.
Suddenly God was showing me a way out.
Pludselig viste Gud mig en vej ud.
And I took it.
Og jeg tog den.
But it was full of emotion.
Men det var fuld af følelser.
It was full of revelation.
Det var fuld af åbenbaring.
But more importantly, This word kabod, it was weight.
Men
it
endnu mere, det her ord kabod, det var vægt, det var tungt.
I led on the grass.
Jeg lå her på græsset.
And I could feel a massive weight, almost that I couldn't breathe.
Og jeg kunne føle en meget, meget stærk tryk på mit bryst.
There was a weight to the presence of God.
Der var en vægt i Guds nærvær.
And it was frightening.
Og det var skræmmende.
So I gave my life to Jesus.
Så jeg gav mit liv til ham.
And it was like someone just pulled a plug out of the bottom of my foot.
Og det var som om nogen bare trak et stik ud af bunden på min fod.
And everything drained out.
Og alt bare løb ud.
And as all this ugliness and uncleanness and dirty feeling went away and fear.
Og den her uherlighed og frygt og urenhed, det bare løb ud.
Came wave after wave after wave of love.
Efter det så kom der
forgiveness.
Bølge efter bølge efter bølge af kærlighed og tilgivelse.
Acceptance.
Accept.
I felt clean.
Jeg følte mig ren.
Just again and again and again and again, I got up on my feet and I just started running in a circle, screaming.
Ja, det skete igen og igen og igen, og jeg ender med at rejse mig op på marken der, så bare løb i cirkler.
I'm glad no one was there when I got saved.
Jeg er rimelig glad for, at der ikke var nogen til stede, da jeg blev frelst.
Because they'd have phoned the local hospital and had me in a funny farm suit and off I'd gone.
For de havde ringet til hospitalet og fået mig i en spændetrøje med det samme.
I'd have been in some mental home.
Og der havde været et
because it must have looked crazy.
For det må have set åndssvagt ud.
I'm hearing voices.
Jeg hører stemmer.
I'm running around screaming like an idiot.
Og jeg løber rundt i cirkler og skriger som en
idiot. I felt so strong that I could run 1,000 kilometers.
Jeg følte mig så stærk, at jeg kunne løbe 1,000 kilometer.
I dropped to my knees and I just cried.
Jeg faldt på knæ og bare græd.
But that's the second time in my life.
Og det er den første anden gang i mit liv.
It was the second time in my life ever that I've fallen to my knees crying with the deepest joy. It's something we call in English bliss.
Thank you.
Yeah. bliss is
it. England har et ord for det her. Det findes bare ikke på dansk, det ord. Ja, salighed, men
I describe bliss this way.
Jeg beskriver bliss på den her måde.
When I was 7, my dad died.
Da jeg var 7 år gammel, døde min far.
In October.
I oktober.
And I knew we were very, very poor family.
Og vi var en meget, meget
my
fattig
father
familie.
Had been sick for a long time, not been able to work. The roof of the coal mine had collapsed on his leg and crushed it.
Min far havde været syg i meget, meget lang tid, havde ikke været i stand til at arbejde. Taget i kulminen var kollapset og faldt ned på hans ben.
We didn't have the social system that we have now in Britain.
Vi havde ikke noget socialt system.
As children, we were taught how to hunt so we could go out and catch food.
Som børn, der blev vi lært, blev vi lært at jage, så vi kunne gå ud og jage mad.
But we ate well.
Men vi spiste godt.
We had salmon in the rivers.
Der var laks i floden.
We had trout in the lakes.
Der var ørreder længe over.
There was rabbit and deer.
Der var kaniner.
Wild pigs.
Og vildsvin og.
And sheep everywhere.
Og får overalt.
And whatever we didn't catch on that Saturday, the farmer lost a sheep.
Og hvis vi ikke fangede om lørdagen, så mistede gårdmanden et får.
We always ate.
Vi havde altid noget at spise.
But that was me and my brother's responsibility. At 7 years of age, 6 years of age, I was taught how to shoot and hunt.
Som 6-årig blev jeg lært at skyde og jage. Det var vores ansvar.
And I knew. We had no money.
Jeg vidste, vi ikke havde nogen penge.
But my mother brought out a catalog. You know what a catalog is?
Min mor, hun kom med et katalog.
It's like you buy it, but then you pay for the next so many weeks.
Man køber det, og så betaler man på afbetaling.
But it's always more expensive than anything else.
Det er altid dyrere end alt andet.
And she said, I want you to, me and my two brothers, she gave us the catalog with all the kids' toys. I want you to go through that and just put a ring round what you want for Christmas and put your name next to it.
Og hun gav os det her legetøjskatalog, mig og mine to brødre, og sagde, uanset hvad I ønsker, send en ring om det og skriv jeres navn ved siden af det.
No, I remember.
Jeg kan huske.
Even at 7.
Som 7-årig.
I'd love to have this, but there's no way we can afford it.
Så jeg vil elske at få det her, men der findes ingen chance for at vi har råd til det.
But I did it anyway.
Men jeg gjorde det alligevel.
Christmas morning.
Julemorgen.
See, we do it the right way.
De gør det forkert.
Me and my brothers came down.
Jeg og mine brødre kom ned.
As I opened the door,
og da jeg åbnede døren,
The bike that I wanted was there.
Så var cyklen, brand new. Jeg mig der.
Every toy that I put a ring around was there.
Hver eneste legetøj, jeg havde sat en ring om, var der.
And me and my brothers, we dropped to our knees and burst out crying.
Og jeg og mine brødre, vi faldt på knæ. Og
that was bliss.
Det er bliss.
And I remember walking on my knees, and I was almost like, I don't even want to touch this. This is special.
Og jeg gik på min knæ frem, og jeg ville ikke engang røre, for det var så specielt.
That was bliss.
Det er bliss.
An emotion of happiness that's so deep.
En følelse af glæde, som er så dyb.
It will never leave you, and it'll affect you forever.
At den aldrig vil forlade dig og være til stede altid.
That's the word bliss.
Det er ordet bliss.
And that night in that field, I felt that bliss.
Og den aften på den mark, der følte jeg bliss.
In the glory of God.
I Guds nærvær.
The glory of God changed from being terrifying to being beautiful.
Guds herlighed forandrede sig fra at være skrækindjagende til at blive smuk.
I didn't want to move.
Jeg ønskede ikke at bevæge mig.
I didn't want to spoil it.
Jeg ønskede ikke at ødelægge.
I cannot tell you how long I was led there.
Jeg har ingen idé om hvor længe jeg lå der.
But eventually I went back in
to
the meeting.
Så tog jeg tilbage ind til mødet.
Everybody was finishing their coffee and cocoa for the night.
Alle var ved at være færdige med deres kaffe og kakao for den aften.
And I looked at all my mates, 30 of us.
Og jeg kiggede på drengene, 30 der var der.
And I said, I just met with Jesus.
Så jeg har lige mødt Jesus.
And they all burst out crying.
Og de kunne alle sammen
except for two, because they were already saved. They were like, what's going on?
På nær to, som allerede var blevet frelst.
The glory of God that I'd felt out in the field came into that cafe.
Og den herlighed, som jeg havde følt ude på den mark, kom ind i den her café.
The Christians reacted weirdly.
Kristne, de opførte sig underligt. Eller
some
underligt.
Laughed, some cried, some danced, some just got on their knees, some went flat on the floor.
Nogen græd, nogen lå, nogen dansede, nogen rejste op, nogen lagde sig på gaden.
See, I didn't know anything about. I understand it now. I didn't understand it then what they were doing.
I dag forstår jeg det godt, men dengang havde ingen idé om hvad det var de lavede.
But all my mates just dropped and went under the table and gave their lives to Jesus.
Men alle drengene, de bare droppede på gulvet, lagde sig på gulvet og gav deres liv til Jesus.
Within the next week, everybody in my village, my age, gave their lives to Jesus, and many older and younger people.
Inden for den næste uge gav alle i min by på min alder sig til Jesus, inklusive mange der var ældre og mange der var yngre.
Until after 3 months, over 1,000 people gave their lives to Jesus.
På 3 måneder var det over 1,000 der gav sit liv til Jesus.
Just because of what happened to us that day in that meeting.
Bare på grund af hvad der skete med os den dag på det møde.
Because the glory of God that we felt.
For Guds herlighed som vi mærkede.
We took home with us.
Den tog vi med os hjem.
And it scared people.
Og det skræmte mennesker.
Those that were the worst sinners in the town, it scared them the most.
De værste syndere i byen, det var dem der blev skræmt mest.
They would even walk on the other side of the road that we were walking on.
De ville gå over på den anden side af gaden når vi kom gående.
We didn't even have to talk with them.
Der var ingen grund til at vi snakkede med dem.
And God, a revival broke out in our town.
Og der brød en vækkelse ud i vores by.
That was marked with the glory of God.
Som blev mærket af Guds herlighed.
It's incredible that the bus stop that every back then nobody, very few had cars.
Dengang var der meget få der havde biler.
So everybody caught the bus.
Så alle tog bussen.
But the bus stop in the village was right outside the church.
Men busholdpladsen lige i byen var lige uden for kirken.
But the glory of God would be surrounding, first of all it was inside the church, but then it surrounded within about 30 meters circumference of the church.
Men herligheden den var i kirken, men så kan den også være i en 30 meters diameter rundt.
That's why many people got saved. They'd sit at that bus stop and they'd just start crying.
Og der blev mange mennesker frelst. De sad ved det her busstop og ventede på bussen.
People would just walk to that bus stop just because it was so peaceful.
Men de gik til det her busstoppested bare fordi det var så fredfuldt.
Because the presence, the love, the acceptance of Jesus was there.
Fordi Guds nærvær, Guds kærlighed, Guds accept.
It was tangible.
Det var mærkbart.
You could feel the weight of God.
Du kunne mærke Guds vægt.
In grace and mercy.
I nåde og herlighed.
And many people got saved just by sitting there.
Mange blev frelst bare ved at sidde på det her busstop.
Or we'd leave the church open and they just go sit in the church because the closer you got to the pulpit, the stronger it was.
Eller vi ville efterlade kirken åben, så folk kunne gå ind og sætte sig i kirken, for jo tættere du kom på talerstolen, jo stærkere blev Guds nærværet.
It's kabod.
Kabod.
Weight or glory, it's substance of presence, it's real, but you can't see it.
En vægt, et nærvær af Gud, som er virkeligt, men du kan ikke se det.
Let's stop for a break. Shall we just 5 minutes?
Let's take a pause for 5 minutes.
And then I'm going to continue with a couple more stories about to help you to understand kabod.
Og så tager vi et par historier mere om at lære, så I kan forstå ordet kabod.